Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 299.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork. Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 299. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for listening. Yes, the time has come. I goofed up last week. I thought last week was 299. It wasn't. It was 298. I had to redo the whole podcast episode. It was very sad. I didn't do that this week because I didn't make that mistake, thankfully. But next week, we will be recording a live Q&A event, which will become the 300th podcast for Jazz Piano School. Now, this live Q&A is going to be done with myself, Sterling, and Trent, the Jazz Piano School staff educators. We will be answering any and all of your questions on Zoom live. We'll be recording this, and we will be publishing the podcast for the 300th episode. If you want to join us to celebrate, I would love to see you there. I would love to answer your questions. I'd love to have my staff answer your questions. And you can get on our mailing list by going to jazzpianoschool.com/newsletter to get the Zoom link you're going to need. Now, the live event is going to be Tuesday, May 16th at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday, May 16th at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. The Zoom link will be open completely to the public, to everybody. So you can hop on. It's going to be a live Q&A with us. We'll celebrate. I'll say a couple words. And then I'm going to open up the floor for any and all questions, excuse me, to chat with us, to talk with us, to ask us any questions that you want will be available. Right now, this kind of support and help is usually only done for our members where we do this, the live Zooms, things like that. But we will literally be here available to ask us and demonstrate and teach. We're going to be teaching you on the spot with our software. We all have software hooked up to our Zooms so we can demonstrate and teach with our software, with our pianos, and answer your questions. It's going to all be recorded, the video and the audio, right? So it'll be released. So you'll get a recorded answer to your question with a demonstration. And it's going to be awesome. We're going to be celebrating. Now, if you want to show up and you don't want to ask a question, that's completely fine. If you want to show up and you don't even want your camera on, you just want to like be a part of the celebration and listen, that's completely fine as well. Obviously, I'd love to have you asking questions and being a part of the celebration and having your camera on because I want to see everyone's faces. But if you don't want to or you're like busy, that's completely fine as well. I got to get some water. One sec. So it's going to be really, really fun. I'm excited to do this. I'm excited to talk with people. I'm excited to release the 300th podcast. Episode, and my goodness, 300 episodes. It's really, it's insane to me. And, you know, I'm just going to keep going. I love podcasting. So go to jazzpianoschool.com/newsletter, not plural, right? Newsletter, all one word, and you'll opt in, put your email address in. That way you can get the link, the Zoom link. And again, you'll get more information. I'm going to be sending out more emails about the details on the event. And obviously the Zoom link again, so you'll get it another time. So don't worry, you don't have to save it or anything. Like, you'll get more emails. And yeah, it's going to be so much fun. So again, jazzpianoschool.com/newsletter to get on the list, to get that information. If you want to join this live Q&A on Zoom with myself, Sterling, and Trent, who are amazing pianists, they'll be answering your questions as well. I'll be answering questions. We'll be all on there together. It'll be great. I have a really fun episode for you today for the 299th episode. I'm going to continue this series going over traditional church movements that can create gorgeous sounds in your jazz piano playing. Now, even if you don't play in church, That's completely okay, because these movements aren't just church movements. They really stem out of classical theory. And obviously the greats, the classical greats back in the day, Bach, Mozart, everybody who was anybody was playing at church back in the day, in Germany, all over Europe, obviously, creating gorgeous music in church. And a lot of their writing actually came through the influence of these greats writing and composing their music, which was also played in church, which is really funny enough. So a lot of the movements that I'm showing you here, I know we call them gospel movements, but traditionally back in the day, you know, thousands of years ago, not thousands of years, but, you know, hundreds of years, I should say, added another zero on there. They would be, you know, playing these beautiful, beautiful movements and creating these harmonies, right? And so we now use them in a lot of different ways, obviously, in gospel, in churches, they're used a lot. But I use them in jazz piano a lot. I use them just for music a lot. They're used for movie writing a lot, which I'm going to show you guys in the upcoming weeks, which is going to be a great little fun series that I'm going to do on Ted Lasso, the music of Ted Lasso, because a lot of the hope and inspiration from movie music actually comes from these simple chord progressions that you're going to learn here today. Just simple triads, not so many seventh chords, just simple triads. But there's a couple tricks that I'm going to teach you today that really starts to elevate and inspire and build hope into the sounds that you're giving off as you play, right? The sound of the music that you're creating with a couple of these tricks. So really awesome series. I'm excited about it that I'm going to go into in one episode that I'm going to talk about some harmony that's going to like really pull at the heartstrings. Like when you're like, ooh, that's just the most gorgeous thing you've ever heard. It's because of a certain chord, because of certain movements that you feel that your heartstrings being pulled. You feel that your inner soul, like your tear ducts are welling up, you know, it's because of certain harmonic chords that are being placed in the progression that cause this. And I'm going to tell you which ones they are. They're secret chords. Just kidding, they're not secret. That's a marketing trick. Anytime you use the word secret, right? You're like, ooh, I want to know the secret. But they are special chords. They're special to me, but they're just simple chords. They're just basic chords. But once you learn them, right, you can use them in different ways to create gorgeous sounds, gorgeous harmonies, and obviously gorgeous music. So with that being said, let's dive into this episode. I hope to see you on May 16th, Tuesday, again at 10 a.m., 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. And again, go to jazzpianoschool.com/newsletter to get on the email list. If you're already on the email list, you'll get an email. So don't even worry about it. But if you're not, go ahead and do that. You want to join the live Zoom, go ahead and put your email in. All right, let's get started. Here we go. All right, so this is going to be really fun. So in jazz, normally, we have our 1 major 7, 2 minor 7, 3 minor 7, 4 major 7, right? These are all 7th chords. Dominant 7, 6 minor 7, minor 7 flat 5, 1. But in traditional kind of gospel, traditional church music, obviously that kind of stemmed out of classical music, all the greatest composers were playing in church, Bach, Mozart, so on and so forth. You get more movements like this that consisted of triads over different types of bass notes, so like slash chords. So the first scale, chordal scale I'm going to give you is this, okay? It's going to revolve around the 1 major triad. Now we're going to think of our 4 major triad, meaning our F major triad, our 4 major triad over our 2. So it creates a D minor 7, I know. Okay, this is a D minor 7, but that's not how I want you to think about it, because we're only thinking in terms of triads over bass notes right now, because this is more or less how you're going to start to create these sounds. Little grace note. Creates a very nice kind of church sound like that. Okay, this is going to be 1 over 3. Back to our 4 now. This is why we're thinking in terms of triads. 4. 1 over 5, which actually does create a sus chord. But this is going to be 1 over 5. 4 over 6 now. So do you understand why I'm thinking in terms of F major triad? Because we're using the F major triad over the 2, the 4, and the 6. Finally, we use our 5 triad over the 7, and then the one. Okay, I'll do that one more time. One, four over two, one over three, four, one over five. I'm using any inversions I want to in my right hand. Four over six, five over seven, one, and back down. How gorgeous is that, right? So what you can do with this kind of systematic diatonic process that moves up and down the key of C is play around with it, experiment, just like hop and jump back and forth. It'll take a little time to get used to, but maybe you start here. That's a gorgeous progression right there. And I'm just picking random chords, right? Just pick any random chords and start to mess around. So right. And you can go back and forth, play around with it. Now I use these in jazz a lot. Like sometimes when a major seven is just sitting there, I might go in the blues, especially walking up to the four tritone down into a one or a four. Or a four major, right? So I might go into an F major seven. So I use these movements a lot intermixed with jazz, and that's why they're so important. Now I'm gonna give you a variation that you can do that's gonna have a slight variance in color that sounds gorgeous as well. So the new one now, we used four over two. Okay, on the two chord, the four chord, and the six. But now, what we're gonna do is we're gonna use a two minor now over the two, the four, and the six. So instead of a four major triad, here's our four major triad, four major triad, four major triad. We're gonna use a two minor triad, two minor triad, two minor triad, two minor triad, right? So you'll see here, the two minor triad is just being put over different bass notes in the chord. So this is root position over the third and over the fifth. Now check it out. I'm going to use the same motion going up and down, but I'm going to use the two minor triad instead of our four major triad. Two minor triad, one over three, two minor triad now, right? One over five, two minor triad, five over seven, one. So this is a variation scale. It produces different colors, different tones, a different feeling. Right? This is way different than this, believe it or not. I know it's one note, but it's such a difference in color and texture. That, just that one note. And again, you can resolve it if you want. Right? You can go, kind of wants to resolve there a little bit to that four major triad, so you can switch back and forth. It's an alternate version. Let's not switch it though, let's just keep it for now. Again, two minor triad. One. Right, so how cool is that? So you can use both of these however you want. You can mix them and match them. I might go two minor. I might use my two minor here. Then maybe I'll go again, two minor. Actual four, four over two, four over one is our classic, it's kind of sus progression or church progression, right? Four minor is going to give you a darker sound that's gorgeous as well. Really gorgeous. I'm not going to get into that just yet, but again, two minor. Right, so you can play around with these however you want. And again, I use them in jazz a lot to kind of switch up different things. I'll pick different progressions. If I see a four major written in jazz, I might play the two minor over my four. So again, and then I might go to my five sus maybe, one over five. Again, not a jazz sus chord like this with the seventh in there. Just a regular sus. This just creates sus. There's no seventh on the chord, meaning I don't have that F natural in there, right? I could go to this though, right? I could go one, four, four, five, one on that all on the five chord. 1/5, 4/5, 4/5, actual 5, 1. Okay? And again, that's just a little hack, a little trick for you to switch up. Now, the last thing I want to show you, which is really, really important, is an alternating passing movement, which has to do with the 1, 2 minor, 1, 2 minor, 1, 2 minor, 1. So anytime you have a 1 chord, it's a really great movement that you can use in a number of different ways that literally just consists of a triad, 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 moving up and down inversions. Now, over the 4 chord, what I was still doing was the same movement, which sounds really great as well. You can do it over the 5 as well. Eventually, you'll want to resolve to that 5, but this movement can be used in a lot of different ways, right? You can use it over the 6. You can use it over the 4. Oh, sorry. And then again, obviously, over the 5. Obviously, resolve. And then again over the 1. So there's a lot more that goes into this. This is a lot of the basics though. But when you start to use these 3 kind of movements that I've taught you, you can get such gorgeous fills, movements that come out of more of a church tradition. That classical sound, the gospel sound obviously that's used by a lot of gospel players, but you can use it however you want, in jazz, in the tunes, maybe to write music to, some gorgeous music you can write with some harmonies. It's an amazing tool to use in so many different ways. Hope you guys enjoyed that. I'll talk to you soon.